Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Nation's Leaders from Coast to Coast podcast, where we spotlight political figures shaping America's narrative coast to coast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Leah. Today we're heading down to South Florida to profile one of the most senior and influential members of the state's congressional delegation, Republican Representative Mario Diaz-Balart.
The Diaz-Balart name is legendary in both Cuban and Florida politics. Before we get into his congressional career, let's talk about that incredible family background.
It's a story deeply intertwined with 20th century Cuban history. Mario Diaz-Balart was born in Florida, but his family is Cuban political royalty. His father, Rafael Diaz-Balart, was a prominent politician in Cuba before the revolution. And famously, his aunt, Mirta Diaz-Balart, was Fidel Castro's first wife. After divorcing Castro and fleeing Cuba, she became a vocal critic of his regime. Mario's brother, Lincoln Diaz-Balart, also served in Congress for many years. So Mario grew up in the heart of the Cuban exile community in Miami, steeped in a passionate, lifelong opposition to the Castro regime and communism. This heritage is absolutely central to his political identity.
And he spent a long time in state government before making the jump to Washington.
Yes, he built a very substantial career in Tallahassee first. He was elected to the Florida House of Representatives in 1988 and later moved up to the Florida Senate. He spent a total of 14 years in the state legislature, rising to key leadership positions, including chairing committees related to redistricting and congressional relations. This extensive experience in state government gave him a deep understanding of the legislative process and the specific needs of South Florida long before he ran for Congress.
He was first elected to the U.S. House in 2002 and has served continuously ever since, making him the dean of the Florida Republican delegation. His most powerful role now is on the Appropriations Committee.
That's right, and it's a position of immense influence. He is what's known as an Appropriations Cardinal, one of the 12 subcommittee chairs, who essentially control the federal government's discretionary spending. Specifically, he is the chairman of the Subcommittee on State, Foreign Operations and Related Programs, often called SFOPS. This means he holds the gavel overseeing the entire budget for the U.S. State Department, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, contributions to international organizations like the UN, and all foreign aid programs. It makes him arguably one of the most powerful figures in Congress when it comes to shaping America's foreign policy footprint.
How does he use that specific chairmanship to advance his long-standing priorities regarding Cuba and Latin America?
He uses it very effectively. As SFOPS chairman, he has the power to direct funding towards programs that promote democracy and human rights in Cuba and other authoritarian countries in the region, like Venezuela and Nicaragua. Conversely, he can restrict funding or place conditions on aid to governments he views as problematic. He ensures that U.S. foreign policy dollars align with his staunchly anti-communist worldview. He is arguably Congress's leading opponent of engagement with the Cuban government, consistently fighting against any efforts to ease the embargo or normalize relations. His position as an appropriator gives him tremendous leverage to enforce that hardline stance.
So his work is really at the intersection of his personal heritage, his district's concerns, and major global policy.
Precisely. His district in South Florida includes parts of Miami-Dade, Collier, and Hendry counties, and has large Cuban-American, Venezuelan-American, and other Hispanic populations who share his deep opposition to leftist regimes in Latin America. His work as the SFOPS chairman allows him to be their chief advocate on the foreign policy issues they care most about. At the same time, as a senior appropriator, he also works to ensure federal funding flows back to Florida for disaster relief, Everglades restoration, and other key state priorities. He is a pragmatic conservative who understands how to use the power of the purse to achieve both ideological goals and deliver for his constituents.
That's our profile for today. Thank you for listening to The Nation's Leaders from Coast to Coast podcast. You can find show notes for this episode and links to our sources on our website, pointedwords.com. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com, and remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.